If you're there, say amen. Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 37. The Bible said, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. What a powerful verse. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. There was a photographer for a national magazine, and he was assigned to go and take photos of a great forest fire. And smoke at the scene hampered him, and he asked his home office to hire a plane and a pilot, and arrangements were made, and he was told to go at once and to a nearby airport where the plane would be waiting. When he arrived at the airport, a plane was warming up near the runway. He jumped in with the equipment and yelled, "Let's go, let's go, let's go." The pilot swung the plane in the wind, and soon they were off in the air. And he yelled out, "Fly over the north side of the fire," yelled the photographer, and he said, "and make three or four low-level passes over the fire and the smoke." And the pilot asked, "Why?" And he said, "Because I'm going to take pictures. I'm a photographer, and photographers take pictures." After a long, silent pause, the pilot said, "You mean you're not the pilot instructor?" Ain't that how life is sometimes? It seems like whoever may be driving the plane don't know where they're going and or what they're doing, and you just in it and trying to get through life the best you can. It seems at times that whoever may be driving the plane don't know where he's going or what he's doing, but listen, that's just how it appears to us. Keep this in mind. That's just how it looks and feels sometimes, like nobody's in control. Nobody knows what's going on. And you in a mess, and you need somebody that knows how to get you out of this mess. And from our vantage point, it seems that our lives get into more messes than we can figure out how to get out of. But again, that's just how it appears. According to the Word of God, we read just a moment ago, the children of God are perpetually victorious people. We can't always see it. We certainly don't always feel it. We don't always live like it. But it's true, nevertheless. We are victorious and more than conquerors. The verse before us today has brought comfort to, and hope to the hearts of God's children for over 2,000 years. No telling how many sermons and messages and lessons have been taught on these verses, songs that have been written on these verses. And I want to spend a little bit of time this evening on the subject more than conquerors, and look at the truths right out of this verse and out of this chapter. And again, you may not feel like a conqueror today. Listen, I don't feel like a conqueror today. And I'm preaching the message on more than conquerors. I'm the preacher. I've been studying and meditating on this for quite a while. But my flesh don't feel like it's more than a conqueror. My flesh don't feel like it's a conqueror, much less more than a conqueror. In life lately, I have felt less than a conqueror. But regardless of how I feel or how you feel, these verses offer words of hope and peace and encouragement to those who feel discouraged and defeated and overwhelmed by life. And so let's take a fresh look this evening at these familiar and famous verses. Every Christian can know that they are more than conquerors by understanding the following truths. Number one, the reality of our conquest. What do you mean? Paul uses the phrase "more than conquerors." This translates a word that only appears here in the New Testament. It refers to those who gain a surpassing victory, more than conquerors. It is talking about not just winning, but winning in a big way, in a overwhelming fashion. It means to be completely victorious, to carry away an overwhelming victory. It literally has the idea of being a super conqueror. That's what the Bible says we are. But that ain't how we always feel. Most of the time, most believers seem to feel like overwhelmed rather than overcomers. Wouldn't you agree? Most of our days, we feel more overwhelmed by the stress of life and all that's going on, whether it be a child or a marriage or finances or health or feelings or even your spiritual condition. And we just feel overwhelmed by all that's going on. But that don't change the fact. That's, again, from our vantage point, looking outward, looking across the horizon. But we got to keep in mind, according, not to how we feel, but according to what God said, we, not maybe that we are, or maybe we can aspire to be, or maybe one day we can grow into, but the Bible says that we are more than conquerors. And we got to keep that in mind. When Paul writes that we are more than conquerors or super conquerors, he uses a tense that suggests a present tense, active situation. In other words, it ain't something that we used to be or something that we may be in the future, but it's present tense. Right now, no matter and regardless of how you feel, what you're facing, if you got bounce checks you got to deal with tomorrow, if you have a if you wrecked your truck and it's gone, if your family's falling apart, if you're fussing with your wife, if you've got waiting on a doctor's report that you ain't thinking's going to be good. I got a message right before church of somebody begging me to pray for their husband. Said, "Please pray. My husband was going toward Union and got T-boned and he had all kind of paint in the back of his truck and he got hit doing about 75 miles an hour and the next thing he knowed, somebody was pulling him out of his truck, and about that time his truck exploded and erupted in fire, and that man's burnt half to pieces, and his brain's swelling and he's hanging on for dear life." And I thought, my goodness. Boy, wouldn't that be overwhelming? I'm saying you don't always feel like an overwhelmer. But listen, and you don't always feel like you are an overcomer. And you don't always feel like you are conquering your situation. But according to God, present tense, right now, no matter what you're facing, you are more than a conqueror. In other words, he's saying that Christians keep on winning the glorious victory. We're not fighting for victory, we're fighting from victory. Victory was won on Calvary. He's saying that even when all of life is arrayed against us, we are still super conquerors. We are still more than conquerors. Regardless of how things feel or look to us, we're still more than conquerors. That is clear testimony of the Word of God. There ain't nothing else you can read from that. There ain't nothing else you can take from that. He said it, definitively, that we are more than conquerors. Present tense. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse 14. "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place." 1 Corinthians 15:57. "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Our prayer should be that we accept by faith the promises of God concerning the victory that we already have in Jesus. The victory is yours. The victory is mine. We ought not live less than that. We ought not listen to the devil and to our own flesh and let our mind talk us out of being who we are and what we are. By the way, we are the children of God. What manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God? And he said that we are more than conquerors, no matter how you feel. We ought not live less than that. We ought to live in the truth of that. And it requires faith. When you are facing financial difficulty, when you are facing, a mess and things that you can't figure out and a mountain that looks insurmountable and unclimbable, or an ocean that looks like there's no way out. Just like God's children, the children of Israel, and the Egyptians were coming up and about to kill them from behind, and they had mountains on each side of them they couldn't scale, and then there they came to the Red Sea and it looked impossible and it looked like there was no way out, but God stepped in, and God can even part the Red Sea of your life and of mine. He did it for them, and all the way through your Bible, God worked miracle after miracle to prove that for his children, he and through him, we are more than conquerors. Amen. And he's no respecter of persons. And if he did it for them, he'll do it for us. All right, let me change that. He did it for them and he did it for us. Our prayer should also be that God would help us to live out that life of victory every day in spite of how things look and how we feel about our circumstances. So we see the reality of our conquest. Then number two, not only the reality of this conquest, but the realm of this conquest. Romans chapter number 8, right here in our verse 37, the Bible said, nay, in all these things, not in some things, not in the minority of things, not even in the majority of things, but in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Paul says that we are more than conquerors in all these things. Most of us have the idea that victory occurs when we are living lives that are free from trouble and afflictions and heartaches. No, my friend, that has nothing to do with it. Your heartache and your burden, and it don't matter if it's a burden or a blessing, you still more than a conqueror. It don't matter if you got $100,000 in the bank or if it's negative, you still more than a conqueror. It don't matter if your marriage is hanging by a thread, thank God I know a God who can restore you, and he can put back together broken things. And don't give up on you. Don't give up on your family. Don't give up on your church. Don't give up on your relationship with God. Don't give up on your spirituality. God's got a word for you. God had a word for you, and he promised you, no matter what it looks like, you are more than a conqueror. Amen. Paul says that the reality is something far different. We are super conquerors in spite of everything the world and the devil can throw at us. The these things Paul's referring to can be found in verses 33 through 35. Listen to them. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Let's take a look at these list of problems Paul wrote down. You'll see that many of these things are common part of living. They're not just things that happen in Paul's day and to Paul himself, but they still happening today. They happen in our life. We are super conquerors in spite of those things. In verse 33, those things who charge us. He said in verse 33, look at it again. He said, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? I'm saying we are conquerors in spite of those who charge us. We are victorious over all those who would challenge our relationship with the Lord. God has justified us, and nothing will ever change His mind. Somebody may say, well, you don't look like much of a Christian to me, and I heard about your past, and I heard how you acted today, and that didn't sound like a Christian. Hey, you look them in their God-given eyeballs and tell them, I'm sorry for failing in front of you. I'm sorry for not having the right attitude. You look your husband in the eye. Look your wife in the eye. Sometimes you need to look your children in the eye and say, hey, as a pastor, I need to look my church in the eye and say, hey, listen, I didn't live up to it today. I fumbled and I failed and I was flawed and I didn't do like I should. But that don't change the fact. Present tense, I am more. You can call me out and you can condemn me and listen, and you can charge me. But in the heart of God, I'm more than a conqueror through Him that loved me. Amen. And so are you. Not only are we super conquerors in spite of those who charge us, listen, we are victorious over all those who would challenge our relationship with the Lord, but we are super conquerors in spite of those who condemn us. According to verse 34, look at verse 34. The Bible said in verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession. Listen, we are victorious over those who would declare that we are unworthy before the Lord. I'll be the first one to tell you, Brother Jeff, I'm unworthy. I'm undeserving. But thanks be to God who causes me and giveth me the victory. And it's not me who overcome. It's not me who is more than a conqueror and made it that way. But it's through Him who loved me. And because of Him who loved me and gave Himself for me, because of Him. Listen, your condemnation of me matters very little. When I read in the first verse of Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation. So go ahead and condemn. Let the world condemn. Let them call us old-fashioned fundamentalists. And I'll say, hallelujah, we are. I'm guilty as charged. I'm an old-time Baptist. I'm still an old-time King James Bible-believing Baptist. Listen to me. I ain't backing up on that. Let them condemn me. I'm not changing my music. I'm not changing my standards. I'm not changing my Bible. Let them condemn me. But I'll tell you this. There is therefore now no condemnation in the eyes of God who made me more than a conqueror. We super conquerors in spite of those who condemn us and in spite of those who charge us. And we're super conquerors in spite of those who confound us. According to verse 35, listen, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? The world and the devil has always been the enemies of the children of God. They've always tried to confound us and challenge us and charge us and condemn us. The attacks are frequent and they are severe. But in spite of everything they throw in our direction, we are still victorious over all their efforts. And listen, over every effort they come at us and try to defeat us and dethrone us and try to get us to a place where we're ready to quit. We need to live in the truth of the fact. God's promise to us that we are more than conquerors, even when they try to defile us and corrupt us and diminish us and confound us. God's promises. Listen at the list of the attacks that the children of God face just right here. He said in verse 35, he said, tribulation. Who shall, listen, verse 35, I'm going to read it again. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? That word tribulation means to be squeezed or to feel pressure. This is a common problem most people feel. I don't know about you, but when things get rough, I feel squeezed so tight I can't hardly breathe. Sometimes that's what people call panic attacks. And I mean, you just under so much stress, you just feel like you can't hardly breathe. Just squeezed and so like you can't move. Tribulation. Listen to what John 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. Job 14:1 says, man that is born a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Then he says, not only tribulation, then he said distress. What about distress? That word literally means a narrow place. It means to be hemmed in by one's circumstances, to be trapped with no way out. I don't know about you, but I don't like to get hemmed in. I like my freedom. I don't even go on cruises. People love cruises. You want to go on a cruise? Oh, we can get you on a Christian cruise. Somebody said, I'll get you. And Mason said, Daddy, I can get you free tickets. It's a Christian cruise. There ain't no gambling and drinking and all that. It ain't none of that stuff. It's a Christian cruise. I mean, all there is singing, gospel singing, preaching, and good food. Nope. You can have it. Give my ticket to somebody who cares, because I ain't about to get hemmed in to no boat out in the middle of the ocean where I can't get off and go where I please. Ain't happening. I love lobster, and I love seafood, and I love a good steak. And to know that I could get all I want is tempting, but for a moment, because then I'll think, I can't get off this thing. I'm hemmed in. I'm hemmed up, and I don't like being trapped. Can't stand it. I'm claustrophobic. I wasn't when I was younger, but the older I get, the more phobics I get. I used to climb up in towers and walk around and run around and not be the least bit scared. And I climbed up on top of this building over here to check where the water leak was coming from. And I got up on top of that big tower, that big, scaffolding. I got all the way up there and that thing's rocking and rolling. And then I got up on top and I was above the trees. And I said, I'll hire somebody to do this. And then me and Brian went hunting, and he had a stand, and I said, well, man, there's a tower. I said, take me to the pack of the tower and let me get me some bolts, and I'll stick them in like I used to do, and I'll climb up that tower. They don't have pegs until you get so far up to keep nuts off of them. And I went and got me some bolts, and we went back, and I put them pegs in there, and I climbed up there like I did a million times, and I climbed all the way to the top of that thing, and under heaven. I can't tell you how many deer I've killed out of them things, because you can see for miles. Instead of hunting one trail, you can hunt 100 trails. I got up in the top of that thing, and I was holding on like this right here, and I got in inside, and you're standing on wrought iron about like that. And I looked down, and I said, if a 14-pointer walked out, I couldn't let loose of holding on to that thing. I said, if a moose walked out, he'd just have to look at me and walk on, because I couldn't turn loose. I was shaking. And I was ashamed. I was scared to get down. That was a bad part about it. I said, how am I going to get down from here? Forget a deer. But used to, I'd climb, when I was younger, I'd climb in the littlest holes and I'd do, it didn't bother me a bit. But now, if I get into a tight spot and I can't move, I'd be up under a house and I crawled up under a house and next thing I know, I kept going further and further. And the next thing I know, my back was touching the top of the house and my belly, which has got so much bigger, was touching the ground. And there I was, wedged, house on, and I got to backing out in a hurry. And I said, somebody else can do this because I ain't about to climb back up under there. My point is, I don't like being hemmed in. And if you'll know the truth, I don't like being hemmed in financially. Boy, it's just so stressful. I don't like being hemmed in my marriage. I don't like that feeling. My point is, God said, when you feel the tribulations come, and when you feel these distresses come, and you feel like you're in a narrow place, and there's no way out, and you're trapped, God said, these times are going to come. But in light of that, remember, you're more than an overcomer. You're more than a conqueror. Then he said persecution, suffering inflicted on us because of our relationship with Jesus. Don't the Bible still say those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution? Then it said famine. That's a lack of necessary resources. This is the natural byproduct of persecution. Listen, famine. And we in America don't know much about it. Look down at your belly and say amen. We don't know much about famine, but I'm wondering, this world's changing. Are you listening to me? We better not wait until famine gets here to prepare for it. We better know and get it embedded deep in our heart. People say, oh, I'd die for Jesus. Most people won't live for Jesus, much less die for him. And I'm saying before famine comes, we need to know if we have to go without food for the name of Jesus, we still more than conquerors. They have been men and women who starved to death because they would not recant the name of Jesus. You know what they was? Some people would call them a fool because all they had to do was say, I recant the name of Jesus. But they would not. I wouldn't call them a fool. I'd call them more than a conqueror. Did they die? Yes, but they died with the glory of God on them. Then nakedness was the next one. A lack of proper clothing to be in a state of destitution. This is also a byproduct of persecution. Then peril. The threat of imminent and awful danger. Then the final one was sword. Sword. The threat of murder. Say, oh, and again, as Americans, as Christians in America, we ain't had to worry about the sword. We ain't had to worry about people chopping our head off. But how many of you remember not too long ago, just a couple of years ago, somebody popped on the scene called ISIS? You remember that journalist they had? And it's a shame that I can't remember his name. Paul something, and ISIS videoed that, and they showed them all dressing their garb, and they took that sword and they chopped that man's head off and dropped to the ground. And then just what happened in Israel, they went in there and those terrorists went in there and they chopped the heads off of babies and they chopped the heads off of children and teenagers and mothers and fathers and made them watch. And I'm saying to you, that's just recent. But the sword speaks of the cold, hard death, dealing instrument that sent untold millions upon millions of believers out into eternity because they love Jesus and love God. Boy, I'm telling you, God's been good to us. We ain't never been faced with a sword. But even if we do, and we lose our head, listen to me, we're still more than conquerors. By the way, you say, well, thank God I ain't had to deal with the sword and I ain't had to die from famine and I ain't had to deal with none of that, so what's this relevant to me? I'll tell you how it's relevant to you, because listen to me, please listen to me. I'm going to say this and move on because my time's getting gone and we ain't even got started. Hear me. Can you imagine standing at the Bema seat, standing at the judgment with every other believer, and what if there's a martyr in front of you who had his head chopped off? What if one is behind you that was sown asunder? What if you were one of those Christians that Nero took, and one of those Christian mothers, and Nero hated God so bad and he would cut the woman open who was pregnant and let the pigs eat the babies out of? What if you was one of those Christians in Nero's day who they would get the metal so boiling hot it was in liquid form, and they'd pour the boiling metal in liquid form into the ears and the noses and the mouths of those Christians who would not recant the name of Jesus? I'm saying, what if you was one who was put and impaled on a stake and burnt to keep his outdoor scenery lit so they could have parties simply because he's a Christian and would not recant the name of Jesus? Say, so what's that got to do with me? What if they in line with you at the judgment? What if they go stand before Jesus to be judged and he replays their life? And then here we come with our pathetic excuses of why we couldn't live for him. Well, Lord, you know I would have done more. And Lord, you know I'd have given more. And Lord, you know if I hadn't have been for this or that. And our flimsy, failing excuses when we're standing beside the martyrs who shed their blood and was burned at the stake. Our flimsy excuses will burn as wood, hay, and stubble. And you talking about shame-faced. I'm saying, in light of that, that ought to convict us, but in light of that, God said, just like the martyr, Miss Kathy, you too are more than a conqueror. That ought to make every one of us, because he's been so good to us, because we have not had to suffer at the hand of the sword, and because we had to experience famine, and because we had to experience nakedness, and because we went through much tribulation, we ought to love him the more, and we ought to live for him the more, and we ought to realize we are more than conquerors. And it's easier to be a Christian today in America than it's ever been for anybody. I know it's a dark world out there. I know the devil's working out there, but God's made it so easy for us. We have no excuses. We're more than conquerors. We're more than conquerors. We're more than conquerors by, not by avoiding these things, but by triumphing over them through Jesus Christ. Our pain and our suffering is very real, but so is God's perfect purpose in our suffering. Yes, pain is real, but God's plan for your life is real. We must remember that his plan for our lives and our plan for our lives are rarely the same plan. Here's what he is doing. He's refining our lives. When we do suffer, When we do endure pain, when we do go through hardship, God is refining our lives. God never lets his children suffer for nothing. If you're going through heartache, it's for a purpose and a reason. He's refining us. 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Just as a goldsmith heats the ore to remove the impurities, God uses the trials and afflictions of our lives to rid the imperfections and the impurities out of our life. I'm saying if you're in hot water, if you feel like you're being mashed on and pressed on, and God's turned the thermostat wide open, and you feel like you can't take it no more, God ain't been mean to you. God's got a plan for you, and He's remolding and remaking your life for your good and His glory, and to make you more than a conqueror. Not only is He refining our lives, but He's remaking it. When He finishes with us, we will be less like ourselves and more like His Son, the Lord Jesus. Romans 8:29, right here in the text. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. Why? To be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. What about Ephesians 4:13? Till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He is remaking us into the image of His Son. I'd say tonight, wasn't Jesus more than a conqueror? He looked like He was defeated when He went down and they pushed Him down and beat Him down, and He was bloody and bruised, and then they put Him up on that cross and nailed Him there. He looked like He was a loser. He looked like He had lost it all. But He come marching out of that grave 3 days later with the victory over death, hell, and the grave. I say Jesus is more than a conqueror, and Jesus is putting us through what we go through that may hurt and it may be painful, because He's remaking us into the image of His Son. Amen. Not only is He refining and remaking, but He's realigning our lives. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse 7, the Bible said that, listen, realigning our lives. This Paul speaking, same one who penned that we're more than conquerors, he's penning these words. He said, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong? I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing I am behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Paul saying, I've went through it all. God give me this thorn. God's put me through it. But it was for Him to realign my life. I once persecuted them, and now I'm being persecuted. But I'm more than a conqueror. I used to be the one throwing the stones, and now they're the one throwing them at me. But I'm the conqueror. God's working in us to bring us to a place where life ceases to be about us and all about Him and His will for us. This process is very painful, but it's very necessary if He is to be glorified. We must remember that God will get more glory from our lives when we are being purified than we will if He allows us to live a life of ease. Everybody say amen right there, because you know I'm telling the truth. When life is easy, when life is plush and no problems and no fussing at home, no problems in the family, your children act like they got half sense. I don't know that they ever act like they got full sense, but I'm kidding. But your bank account's good, your car's all running fine, your health is doing well. It's mighty easy to leave that Bible laid on the counter and get busy with your hobbies and habits and fun, and but let heartache come. Let the bottom fall out. Let the C word be mentioned about somebody you love. Get a call and let them know, hey, we need you to come down to Floyd's to make the arrangements. And I promise you, that Bible that was collecting dust in your knees that have failed to hit the floor, and thank Him and call on Him because life was so easy. You'll find your place, you'll find your closet of prayer again, and you'll run to Him and you'll beg Him and you'll plead with Him and you will draw nigh to Him. And God knows that. The whole Old Testament is full of the children of Israel. When God would be good to them, wouldn't be long. When things was easy, wouldn't be long. They'd end up in idol worship. They'd end up doing things and getting away from God, and God would have to send pestilence, and God would have to send enemies and overthrow them and overtake them and put them in slavery to drive them back. I'm just simply saying, God ain't being mean to you. God ain't just being brutal to you. God's trying His best to realign your life and mine so that we'll live up to the more than the conquerors that we are. Amen. Paul understood that, and Paul grabbed a hold of that. When do you pray more? When does the Bible mean the most to you? When are you more likely to seek the Lord? The answer to all these questions is simply, and it's universal. We're more likely to do these things when the heat is on. We're more likely to seek God. Listen, it's just a reality. It's just a reality. Our flesh likes it easy. And left to itself, it will serve itself. Psalm 103:14, for He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. Just as it takes time, heat, pressure to transform coal into diamonds, it takes the same circumstances to transfer sinners into saints. God knows the process He has to put us through for us to become what He desires us to be. The reality of our conquest and the realm of our conquest, and I'm not going to preach this, I'm just going to give it to you. Finally, the reason of our conquest. Paul tells us that the only reason that we are victorious in this life is through Him that loved us. The reason, why are we more than conquerors? I promise you it ain't 'cause you. It's Him. It's Jesus. He's the reason that you are more than a conqueror. Our victory does not lie within ourselves. Our victory rests in Him and Him alone. Consider for a moment what we deserved. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Ezekiel 18:4, behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. We deserved death. We deserved to be in hell. Then think for a moment about the nature of his love toward us. Jeremiah 33:3, he said, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Then stop for a moment and think, what we deserve, but think for me just for a moment about what he did to prove his love for you and for me. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What about Romans 5:8? But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The love of God for his children is so vast and so deep and so far-reaching that God wants us to know that nothing can come and separate us from his great love for us. That's why he said, for I'm persuaded neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities and powers nor things present or things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul knew his share of trials and torments in life. I'm done, but I want to close with these verses. Are they any men? This is 2 Corinthians 11:23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prison more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwrecked, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings, often in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care all the churches. Paul knew what heartache and hardship was, and yet he penned the words through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. He said in verse 38 that he's persuaded. He said, for I am persuaded that neither death, and he goes on, listen. Paul wasn't hoping, questioning, thinking. Paul said, I know the reason that I'm more than a conqueror. I'm persuaded. You know why? Because he knew. Paul said in one place, he said, I know whom I believed in, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that I've committed in him against that day. Listen, thank God I know the reason I'm more than a conqueror. And you ought to know the reason that you are. It ain't you and it ain't me. It ain't our church. It ain't our denomination. It's Christ and Christ alone. But because of that, don't ever let the devil or this world or your flesh or your corrupt mind and heart talk you into believing that you're anything less. Because God said right now, present tense, you are more than a conqueror. Amen. Let's stand. Father, in Jesus' name, take your word, Lord, bless it. May it fall into our hearts, oh God. Lord, life may be good for most and many right now, but God, help us to tuck this one away. For the day will come, God, when the bottom's going to fall out, and we need to remember and we'll need to revisit the fact that you've made us more than conquerors. And I beg of you, oh Lord, help us to be thankful and grateful and live with thanksgiving in our heart, a life that be pleasing to you for being so good to us and for the precious, precious promise of knowing no matter what, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. blessed now. Have your will and have your way in Christ's name. Amen.